Hello, everyone. My name is Mike, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from a fear of rejection, alcoholism, and drug addiction. I'm gonna pray us in real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just the way that you have rescued me. Thank you for the way that you have used the adversities that I've encountered to sharpen me and help me become the man that I am today. Lord, I ask that you just continue to sharpen all of us here tonight and continue to groom us into being the men and the women you created us to be. All these we ask in your son's name. Amen. All right, let me start off by saying that my life was a train wreck for many years. Alcohol and drugs were a part of my everyday life. I often woke up drinking, would stay stoned throughout the day, and continue until late at night. I was hurting, but because I was so numb to most feelings, I couldn't really tell. I would never let anyone get too close. By keeping a distance, people couldn't reject me like my parents had. My parents' divorce was pretty rough. When the church we attended found out, we were asked not to come back. For years, I felt that God had turned his back on me. That was my first experience with rejection. A custody battle began, and I was asked to testify in court about the abuse from my mother. The judge thankfully felt that it was unnecessary to run me through that ringer, so he gave custody to my dad. Relations were strained with my mom, and after much encouragement, I tried to reconcile with her while she was picking up my younger brother from my dad's house. My mom reacted by rolling up the car window and turning her back so she wouldn't have to look at me. Rejected. I vowed to myself that I would never put myself in that position again. Living with my dad was better. He eventually met a lady and they remarried. My rebellion and fears reached new heights or depths, and I made the transition much more difficult than it had to be. Our new family relocated to Denver, Colorado, and I had my first drink around this time. And the numbing effect of the alcohol killed any pain I felt. I drank more often, hanging out with my new buddies in high school, ultimately because of many bad decisions, some brushes with the law, and the anger that was stewing up inside me. My stepmom told my dad that it was either him or me, and I lost. Dad chose her and told me to leave the house. I was given a ride to the airport, and I was told that I was on my own. Don't bother asking for any help. I vowed I would honor that wish, and I would never speak to him again. The damage from being rejected was done. The most important people in my life had dumped me, and now I saw myself as this victim, and I played that role very well. I was able to complete high school, and I took a lot of pride in bragging that how I beat the odds. But the drinking escalated, and I soon learned how methamphetamine and cocaine would allow me to drink for extended periods. I lived this way for about 15 years. And these are the ugliest years of my life, filled with self-serving, self-gratification, and self-loathing. Being wasted was the only way that I knew how to live. And it damaged or destroyed every relationship I have ever had. Even after a failed marriage, I used that to bolster my perception that I was unwanted and unlovable, and I continued to spiral downward. I was very guarded, not allowing many people to get close. How I would operate was I would look for opportunities to help others as a way of buying friendship, and in some way, loyalty. I'd help with rent, get a car fixed. I was trying to be their rescuer, their savior. And if they ever let me down, I'd do what I had learned. I would turn my back on them and completely disassociate with them. You can probably guess I went through a lot of friends. And I left a wake of damage behind me. My behavior got so bad that it even began to scare me. I began to wonder how my 8-year-old daughter would view me. Would she be ashamed? I knew that I had a problem. I started attending AA. But I still believed the lie that I would be rejected. So I quickly isolated myself again. I had a few years of sobriety by trying to stay sober one day at a time, but I was just a dry drunk trying to do it all on my own power. But I knew that I was very near to drinking again. This is when some friends invited me to Watermark. Even though my fear was shouting pretty loudly that I was different and that I'd be rejected, I gave it a try. People here seemed different than those I remember from my childhood church. Little did I know how God was beginning to work on my heart, and looking back, how much he was going to radically transform me. I had a lot of questions about God, and a friend at work invited me into his office to talk. He explained how my sins were a barrier between me and God, and no matter how hard I tried, my works would never be good enough to be righteous in God's eyes. He told me about how Christ gave his life to pay the penalty for my sins. He said that all I had to do was accept this free gift of grace that Christ was offering to me. So I accepted Christ as my Savior and began to attend Watermark regularly. Still feeling like I was on the brink of relapse, I began to get plugged in at Regeneration. I was excited to try this program out, since, you know, everything else I had tried had failed. There was a freshness that I had never felt before, like a new beginning. I took the ball and I ran with it. We progressed through the first two books, and I started to get pretty fearful about the inventory process. I did not want to divulge all the dirty laundry that was hidden away in my past, and I kept the guys in my group at a distance. And then I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." It turned out to be a pivotal moment for me. I decided that I would trust the Lord and how he would use this ministry to transform me. Rejuvenated, we went through the inventory and I shared it openly. The men who came around me spoke truth to me. They boldly spoke truth. They pointed out that all those years I was in the wilderness, I would sabotage relationships as a way of protecting myself. I would reject people before they had the chance to reject me. And I had no idea that I was doing it. What a destructive and repetitive cycle I had followed. These men challenged me by asking why I was trying so hard to prove that I was unlovable. And above all else, why did I not feel like God loved me? That was the big question. To be honest, this felt like it was a roller coaster ride, but the leaders were always there to point me back to Scripture. So this is what I learned about God. He loves me, blemishes and all. Ephesians 1:5 says he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And that was huge. I am his adopted son. I began to realize that I had viewed God on the same plane as my earthly father. There were so many verses I read that told of God's great love for us, for me, and I decided to make a choice. I was going to choose to believe God's truth and not the deceptive lies that were constantly rolling around in my head. Lies that told me I wasn't good enough, that I couldn't be loved, and the worst one, that I wasn't worth it. It's a minute-by-minute struggle for me, believing God's truth and rejecting the lies. Sounds silly, but the most effective way for me to combat those thoughts is to ask myself if God would truly say that to me. And usually, no, he would not, because I know what the Bible says and that his words are true. And that usually does a trick. Working through the dysfunction and the old habits has been quite the journey. It made me aware of how self-centered I can be. And that's been a tough pill to swallow, having to admit that I can be so selfish. In Mark 10:45, it says that Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So as part of my 12th step, I began to usher on Sunday morning service. God used that time to show me his love through his people. Here's a guy that has a strong fear of rejection. I've never been to college. I would much rather be out in the country than in the big city. I felt like I was the odd man out, and yet Christ showed me otherwise. Nobody seemed to care about my education. They cared more about how I came to know Christ. And there it was again. It's not about me. It's about my Savior. Other character defects began to surface, like, you know, still living in the past as a victim of abuse. Yeah, I was a victim, and I didn't have a part in that. But I learned that I do have a part on how it affects my way of thinking now. I could keep on living and feeling sorry for myself, or I can make a choice that those episodes in my past would no longer define me. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I think it comes down to where I get my value. For decades, I got my value using that victim mentality, and all it did was promote more brokenness. And I'm sure it was a barrier between me and what God has in store for me. And to finally understand that my value is in Christ, it lifts such a heavy burden that I placed on others. I'm continually amazed at how mighty a work God does and the fact of how much I can hinder that growth simply because I won't get out of the way. Of all the things I soaked up, I think the most gratifying time in regen was the opportunities that I had to make amends, to ask for forgiveness and to forgive others in my heart, to be able to meet up with people in my past and ask them to forgive me for the way that I had treated them or hurt them. Was such a relief. I no longer had to carry that baggage around anymore. I learned to prayerfully forgive others who had hurt me. If I had been forgiven by God, then I should forgive others as well. To be able to share those victories and hear the victories of the men in my group was overwhelming. We banded together and held each other accountable. It was the first taste of community, and we all grew closer to our Lord. Community, man, the dreaded word. My recovery today relies heavily on my ability to stay close to guys that I'm walking with, to be open and honest about my status with my walk, with my time in God's word, and where I am in my marriage. God has faithfully removed my desire to drink. However, I do need to be conscientious about triggers that could easily swing me in that direction. I cannot put myself in a position that will enable that pattern to resurface. Boundaries have been put into place to safeguard against that. I've returned home from hunting trips early because of the lack of accountability while I've been out of town. My struggle with the fear of rejection, which I feel is my core struggle, is an ongoing everyday fight. I will have seasons of victory and moments when I just flat out run into a ditch. Thankfully, God has placed some strong men in my life to work through these seasons. It's a true blessing to be able to just say, this is where I'm falling short, and to be reminded of God's truth and given practical ideas on how to struggle well. I don't think I'll ever consider myself to be fixed, but I measure my victories simply by knowing that I don't wallow in the mud nearly as long as I used to. The seasons in the ditch seem to be shorter. Being vulnerable to others and admitting my setbacks has really changed the dynamic of all my relationships. This openness has afforded a real and authentic feel that God has used to really blossom these friendships, especially with my dad. I remember promising myself that I would never speak to him again, but God had different plans. One night while perusing through Facebook, this window popped up and said, "People you might know." On it was a picture of my dad and my stepmom. I looked at my wife and said, "I think I found my dad." She found his phone in his email, everything I needed to make contact. We talked it over, prayed about it, and we both felt a strong push to reach out. So I typed out an email, and I shared about my recovery, and that part of the process was to make amends and to clean up, you know, my side of the street. I asked him to forgive me for my rebellion, for the trouble that I had gotten into, and for not accepting his new wife into our family. and also shared a little on where I was in my life, my walk with our Lord, and said I wasn't expecting a reply, but that I hope you as well. I can still remember the fear and apprehension when I had my finger right above that sin key. Very next day, my dad responded by saying what a wonderful surprise it was to hear from me. He shared regret for the mistakes made by all. He was sorry and wishes he could have reacted better. He is grateful that I have Jesus to help me in all things and that God gave me the courage to reach out. I was that prodigal son who had returned. Just as my heavenly Father came running after me, so did my earthly father. 30 years we were at odds with each other, and God softened both of our hearts to be receptive and willing. My dad and I eventually got to meet face to face and have dinner. They got to meet my wife, and I was given the opportunity to ask for forgiveness from my stepmom. She was crying her heart out. It was good. I know that I find my value in Jesus Christ. I'm not disputing that at all. But there was something different that night. A little piece of my history was returned, and it was given back renewed. No longer feel rejected by my dad, and that friendship continues today. You know, that story, you know, about dad is a great reminder to keep my pride in check and to keep short accounts. Harboring bitterness for that long only bred much more dysfunction for me, and I want to stay healthy. It also gave me an opportunity to do step 12, take the message to others. We spent some time talking about God that night at dinner and walked away knowing that they have a relationship with Christ. How could I not share that good news? I truly enjoy the opportunities the Lord provides to share hope with others who may be struggling with addiction. In pointing them back to Christ, it really helps me in my walk. I never imagined that I could be used by God like this. Been leading a regen group for a couple years now and got a group of guys I'm going through the steps with right now. God's presented me opportunities to share his story of hope at a few prisons here locally and overseas in Haiti, where I got to be part of a team that trained some pastors in recovery as well. Completely amazed and humbled how God took a man dedicated to self-destruction and has redeemed my life to glorify him. God does great things in spite of our past when we surrender to him. So I want to challenge you guys with a few things. This week, you might be the only example of Christ to somebody at work, at the store, or on LBJ. Lead out well. Show others the love Christ has for you. I want to encourage each of us to go all in, to learn of God's plan for us. And you can know God's plan for you through his word, the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I know we can all find freedom from our addictions and destructive behaviors by resting in the Lord. Thank y'all for letting me share God's story of love with y'all tonight.